Okay, just before we start again, I want to welcome the men's mission, mostly from Baltimore, but a little taste of Oakland in there. Just want to explain what's happening. So in most yeshivot, there's a daily gemara share, where all the different guys are in various different shiurim. But there's many yeshivot, there's once a week where everyone comes to learn something together. That's why it's called shiur kli, like a general shiur for the entire yeshiva. Usually it's a little bit more gemara oriented than today's topic. Today's topic actually doesn't have any gemara in it. But it's a wonderful topic, so that's okay. Okay, by the way, one last thing before I start. I did notice something interesting about tomorrow's teyul. I don't know if you guys caught on this. But the morning has a Zionistic touch to it, and the afternoon is treyos. So it's already two of the four things that distract us from Talmud Torah. Okay, it would be a perfect, we should learn your chassid on the box and bring your girlfriends. They'll be four for four. Okay. All right, so let's get started here, okay? So there are a number of psukim. Now, Pesukim that talk about concern for the ger, okay, both in a negative, right, don't oppress the ger, don't mistreat the ger, and in a positive, to love the convert. Now, before we move on, I should point out that the word ger is a tricky word. Like many words in our tradition, it could have more than one meaning. So that's certainly true in contemporary discourse. Okay, we might differentiate between a ger tzedek and a ger toshav. What do we usually mean when we say a ger tzedek? I'm sorry? Yeah, full convert. Somebody decides to become Jewish, right? Then remember the Am Yisrael. What do we usually mean when we talk about a ger toshav? Very good. Someone who's accepted the Noahite covenant upon themselves, right? They don't kill, they don't steal, they have a moral society. So we already use the word ger in two different ways. And maybe even in Tanakh you have that ambiguity. Maybe the word ger could have both meanings in Chumash, and then it'll become tricky in each context which ger is being referred to. Now, lest someone think that ger always means the full-fledged convert, I actually have a good proof that's not the case. Okay, there's a pasuk in Dvarim when it's talking about eating nevela. Okay, what's nevela? Okay, animal that died without shechita. It says, you can't eat it, what do you do? So it says, tinena l'ger o machor l'machri. Either give it to a ger or sell it to a non-Jew. Okay, so what do you mean give it to a ger? What ger is that talking about? Well, it doesn't make sense to Ger Tzedek, because Ger Tzedek would have all the halachot of kashrut as a regular Jew. So their context, it clearly does not mean a full convert. Okay, so I would say Ger is an ambiguous word, which really is a topic for its own issues, but we'll discuss more of the full-fledged convert today. Okay, one last piece of background. It's often interesting to see what is juxtaposed to a mitzvah. And maybe you could learn something from what's next to it. Okay, yeah, Joseph.
Well, I'll just say that another proof. Like,
okay, good. So notice what Joseph Kahn just said. Several times when the Torah is describing why we should be kind to converts, it gives a rationale. Okay, what is the rationale given? Because you were converts in Egypt. We'll discuss that rationale in 1 second. But let's just get back to my juxtaposition point for 1 second. So in a lot of, let's see who Ger is next to. So if you look at Shmot Chabet, it says, Ger lo tonev lo tilchatzenu. Don't oppress the ger. We'll come back to that. Somehow that's the rationale, because you were a convert in Egypt. What's the very next pasuk? Kol almana v'yatom lo tanun. Don't oppress also the widow and the orphan. Now, what would you derive from that juxtaposition? Why is a ger next to the widow and orphan in the pasuk? What do you guys say? I'm sorry? Yeah, Zach? Yeah, there's something very weak and vulnerable about them. So maybe you're listing people who could be taken advantage of more easily. And on that list is the widow, the orphan, and the convert slash stranger. Okay, so we have two things to look into, this juxtaposition and the rationale that was offered. Sammy?
Also, they don't have, like, family in Israel.
Okay, terrific. Okay, so let's actually jump ahead a little bit before we get to the rationale. Let's jump ahead to why they're in a weakened position. Sam? Okay, so the truth is, Sam, you should just, I'll give you a good research project if you want. On most of these psukim, Chazal interpret it as being the actual convert. If you look at the Ibn Ezra's parish on Chumash, he tends to interpret it as just a general stranger. Okay, and there are actually some, on a pshat level, there's some good arguments for Ibn Ezra, it's true. But halachically, we seem to limit many of these things to the actual convert. Okay? So let's take a look at, so why is the ger vulnerable? So let's look at the Chizkuni in source 5, a little bit out of order. The ger lo tilchatz latit, you know, meaning whether it's in a courtroom setting or not in a courtroom setting, don't oppress the convert. Some chukam lefi she'ein lo goalim. What would that mean, ein lo goalim? I'm sorry? Yeah, very good. Goalim here, excellent. I mean relatives, as in the goal hadam. Right, he doesn't have a redeemer. Meaning one of the difficulties being a ger is you don't have connections. Right? A lot of it, any society is that who has connection to society, who knows people, a ger by definition comes to the outside. You know, it's like the difference between coming to Leita from, you know, Kansas City or from Frisch. If you come from Frisch, you're in the world, right? You're in the Yeshiva League, right? You're all part of things. Okay, but if you come from Kansas City, it's all over. Okay, by the way, an interesting debate we're discussing right now. Now, the Yeshiva tries to have, you know, half in town, half out of town. So there's a debate now. Two things, like where Miami guys should be considered. Maybe Miami's like a just part of New York. Okay, and the other debate are where are Kushner guys considered. If there's an accent that Kushner's in New Jersey, maybe it's really out of town. Okay, so if you have any thoughts about that, you can tell me later. How should categorize the Miami guys and the Kushner guys. Okay, but, okay, what? No, Toronto's not up for grabs. Okay. I know y'all are, but I'm very excited to discover that, you know, short kids from Canada play basketball. I did not know that. Okay, 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 excellent. Okay. So in any case, so Amo Golim, when you don't have connections, right? A convert is someone who joins a new society, does not have connections, therefore he's vulnerable. Okay, there might be other reasons why he's vulnerable. Let us go to Shadal now, in source 6. Says Shadal, Shadal is Shmuel W. Luzzatto, he was an Italian commentator on Tanakh in the 1800s. So he says, Medavim Adayim Vachashil Yivur Hadin, and Meshach Kir Vadad. His yerli would have been if they rechukadat. Ki leiv ha'ezrach rachok v'lo karov v'hager ba'am eretz acher. What's leiv ha'ezrach rachok? Who's the ezrach? Yeah, the resident, very good. The local citizen, right? And he is, might feel a bit, what's the ezrach feel? Distant from the ger. The ger is just an outsider, beyond the fact that he doesn't have connections, he doesn't have relatives in the society, but also maybe like you feel like he's a different cultural universe. So maybe the regular run-of-the-mill Ezrachim have trouble assimilating the ger, have trouble identifying with the ger, and that's why he struggles. That's a totally separate reason, but it's also another reason. Now there's even a third reason. Go to Bechor Shor in source 8. Lo tonu, kishe'eno baki b'mas umatan shel artzachem. What's the third problem the ger suffers from? He has no the mores of your society. That's also a difficulty. Often, I think Bali Tshuva is suffering this a little bit also. You feel like, oh, if I grew up from birth, I know exactly what to say. I have the right move to make in a given occasion. But now I'm this outsider. I didn't grow up with it. It's like trying to learn how to play soccer when you're 22. But it's too late at that point. Right? You have to have it ingrained from when you're 6. And now I'm always going to be missing out on that component. So notice we've just had, we already have three different reasons why it's tough to be a ger. Right, a ger could struggle because he doesn't have connections, he doesn't have relatives. A ger could struggle because the regular run-of-the-mill people feel strange to him on some level. And a ger could struggle because he just doesn't know the etiquette. He feels like he or she doesn't know what to say, how to behave. Okay, we'll get to that. But that is all focused on the ger as someone who needs help. And what works nicely with that again? Who's the ger juxtaposed with frequently? Yotom and Amana. So we'd have a ger as someone who needs your support, is in a vulnerable position, we've explained why. Okay, we'll go back somewhere? Okay, great. Let's move beyond the vulnerability of the ger to the rationale. What does the Torah keep saying? Be nice to the ger because you are given. Now, why is that a rationale to be nice to him? Okay, so what would you guys say? What's the easiest way to explain it? Or any way to explain it? Yeah, Joseph?
Yeah, I think
okay.
It's the best place for the cash comes around.
Okay, good. David?
Similar to empathy, but we shouldn't, now that we're in a high place, we shouldn't make those that were in a hard place feel the way that we were.
Okay, good. Yeah, y'all?
Treat yourself as we want to treat it.
Okay, great. So let us now go to the Rishonim here and the Achronim and see how to interpret it. Okay, let's go to Rashi in source 2. Okay, it says Rashi, Germi Atem, Im Honito, if you oppress him, Af Hu Yecholonetcha, V'lomar Lecha, Af Ata Migerim Bata. Okay, so what does it sound like to Rashi? I have to make it a little bit too pragmatic for me. What? Yeah, exactly. Ari Portal said it very well. It's almost like a bad strategy. Don't say, hey, you're a ger, because he'll say to you, you're also a ger, right? You also come from a stranger, from an outsider perspective, and therefore, it's a bad strategy. Okay, but I think maybe we can go a little bit further here. It's not just a pragmatic advice. It's bad to like give the ger a hard time, because he has a comeback, but clearly there's some religious and moral idea here as well. So let's move on to the Ramban in 3. So Don't think that he has nobody to save you. You were once a stranger. Good word, guys. What's lachatz?
Pressure.
Excellent. Yisrael, the Egyptians pressured you. Vasiti ben nekaman, I got the vengeance upon them. Great phrase coming up. Dimat ha'ashukim. What are dimat ha'ashukim? Oh, just whisper that. Michael. What do you get for ashukim? Where do you get that from? Oh, not bad. Okay, ashukim is I would say the oppressed. You recognize the tears of the oppressed. Okay, now I'm going to teach you some guys which I have no idea how to teach, but I'm going to try anyway. Okay, so I have a rule for life. If someone says something more poetically than they need to, why might that be the case, even if they're not a poet? Because they're quoting a known verse. Right, if someone says very poetic, what do you do next? Take out the concordance and see if it's a pasuk. Okay, because again, you might be doing that terminology because, so I never try to teach that. How do you teach one of the criteria for when it's more poetic than it is not so easy to teach. Okay, but if you ever work it out, guys, let me know that happened. I'd be very happy. All right, so, oh, this is a very poetic phrase. Maybe he's quoting Yeshayo or Tehillim. But I think, wouldn't we do that in English also? Right, if, for some reason I'm describing some decision I have to make. All of a sudden I say, whether it is better to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Right, why would I say that unless, like, I'm quoting something? Right, there's got to be some reason why I say that. Right, so that's good rule. Okay, so Dimat Ashukim is a pasuk in Kohelet, okay, about the tears of the oppressed. Do they have someone to console them or not? So Rabban is using that phrase. What's Aniwa Ed Dimat Ashukim? Asher Ein Lehem Menachem. Right, I am looking at the tears of the oppressed and I take care of it. So basically, what according to Rabban, what's shot in the pasuk? Hashem is basically declaring, I don't like it when there's oppression and I'm likely to punish the oppressors. So you should be aware, from your time in Egypt, you should be aware of that being the divine value. Okay, so Rashi had a little more pragmatic that it's a bad strategy, they could get you back. Where Ramban says, no, understand the nature of divine accounting, right? God really objects to oppression. And therefore, just like the Egyptians end up suffering from the Makot, right, you'll end up suffering. However, I think the simplest trial is what Joseph says we have in Shaddal. Okay, in source 4, says Shaddal, B'tolat nefesh ha'adam, what is the nature of human being? Which is totally true. Right? Often when you're sympathetic to somebody else, when you know what it means, right, to suffer from it. Like, let's say you go most of your life not being an anxious person. So it could be you don't really know what it means to be a nervous person. But then you have your first moment of profound anxiety, and then, okay, you have a different understanding. Actually, one of my neighbors did this to me once. It's actually very helpful. Okay, there's a woman on our block who's very nervous. So I was not always so sympathetic to her. Okay, so he once said to me, when my neighbor said to me, like, imagine what it's like to go through life so nervous all the time. Right? So I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's a good point for you. Maybe you should be a little sympathetic to it. So you need to experience it yourself. Then you realize the difficulties that other people go through. So now, that's the pshat over here. Right, what's the pshat? Right, okay, you know what it means to be an oppressed stranger. Therefore, you should be sympathetic to those that might have to deal with it. Yeah, Joseph.
Well, I would say, I'm going further. I'd say the very fact that we started out in this life, we always had this permanent status of, we weren't necessarily from a nation in Eretz-Israel, we're a nation outside of Eretz-Israel. We are in some aspect, even within Eretz-Israel, there's a part of it that we are still, in a sense, on borrowed land. Or at least,
okay,
that we had to win it from.
Okay, Joseph Kahn, very radical theory. We're still in that Geud experience, even here in the land of Israel.
Right? Even now, even all our land is lower.
Okay.
So the idea being that we, I guess, part of our identity.
Okay, very good. Well said. Okay, we're good so far? So we've covered two bases already. We've covered why a ger would be vulnerable. And we've covered why the rationale might be, oh, be nice to the ger. You know what it means to be a ger. Yes, Ryan.
Would this vulnerability of a ger also apply to a
Look, we'll get there in the chinuch. But Ryan's right. It's always an interesting question. Even if this mitzvah is formally only about a convert, very often you could take a value that's not formal and apply. Actually, you know, we'll skip ahead. Why not? Since one's right, it's a good question. I'm going to the second page. I don't mind going a little out of order. You know, I would say that there's two kinds of teachers in life, both in yeshiva and in college. There's one, like, the notes are set, and, like, you can make a Nobel Prize winning comment, but nothing's going to make a dent in the lecture. It's going to be the same lecture every time. And other people like could go in the comment and run with it. So I always prefer the more dynamic approach. Okay, it's okay if like a question makes the sheer proceed in a different way. Okay, so let's go. That's why it's not always so organized. Let us go to the Chinuch page, number 13, source 13. So the Sefer Chinuch, of course, is a book of mitzvot that gives the rationale for every mitzvah. We don't know who the author was. We just know he lived in Barcelona in the 1200s, one of the mysteries of Jewish history. Who wrote it? What? Where did you get that from? Very good, Joseph. Where did you get that from? Okay. At one point, there was a thought to identify the author as a man named Rav Aaron Halevi, but now I think we think it wasn't him.
His brother or something.
Okay. Impressive, Joseph. Okay. Here we go. So let's read in 13. Shinitztaveinu lehov geirim. We're commanded to love converts. V'kami derech nimud v'chandal t'chasein v'mot. Okay, fine. I'm going to skip that for now. However, let's skip down to the end of the fourth line. Now the Chinuch does something really fascinating. What is this mitzvah formally? Mitzvah 431 in the Chinuch? To love a real convert. Someone who actually converts to Judaism, there's a mitzvah to love that person. Look what he said again before the line. V'yishnu l'mod min ha-mitzvah yekara hazot. We should learn from this. Very good. Precious mitzvah. Yakar, like expensive, right? L'achem al adam shu be'ir she'ena eretz mulatato u'makom mishpachat avotav. So I think the Chinuch does something interesting here. It says, maybe this is not the formal mitzvah, but you could derive the value of the mitzvah. What does he apply it to? Anybody who's in? Yeah, foreign land. It's hard to be a stranger, right? And therefore have compassion and help out. Anybody who looks like they're a bit lost, they don't know what's going on, right? So, Ryan, it's not formal, but I might say certainly a Baal Tshuva or a Tinuch Shnis would fit into this very powerfully, right? The Chinuch would say, of course, you see someone who doesn't really know how the frum community functions, so help them out. I'll give you an example of this coming relevant to you guys. Okay, a little advice for college. Okay, it's an interesting phenomenon you have in university campuses is that the Jews from other denominations often find Orthodoxy a little bit intimidating. Okay, and not necessarily because they have stereotypes about Orthodox Jews, often just because we might have bigger numbers. Okay, think what happens in like in a lot of college campuses. Like, let's say you go to the University of Maryland, right? So it can be pretty intimidating. You show up in the Orthodox, and then all of a sudden there are 200 kids there who know each other from, you know, Camp Hoshava, right? And you're this one kid who grew up, you know, in a nice conservative community in Connecticut, right? So that's a little scary, right? You're totally out of it, right? So that's what to be sensitive to. That doesn't mean we're going to do anything mean, but it's a scary environment for such a person. So you'll be the one to go over to them, realize that they look at a place and are trying to figure out how to navigate that. Yes, really. Well, look, Rabbi Kavala obviously is this catch-all for Ben Amachavero, but here we have a separate mitzvah. But you're actually saying we're going to come back to later, which is, okay, Shirley just said a good point. Very good, Shirley. Okay, relevant to the point again, Shirley. Okay. What? Okay, Shirley, if you're going to be a real religious anarchist, you have to make like comments that are not relevant to all. Okay, but, Shirley's a very good point. Let's say there's a general mitzvah called V'hatar Echa Kamocha. And there's a specific mitzvah called Avad Hager. So I think Shirley's right. Wait, what does Avad Hager add to? I mean, if I ask you, someone converted, let's say there'd be no mitzvah of Avad Hager, would you have to love him? Yes, because of? So what exactly is accomplished by having a separate independent mitzvah called Avad Hager? Yeah, anyone make a suggestion? What might you say? Yeah?
Sure. Similar to the idea of like, not on the same level, but like, maybe not.
Okay, good. Okay, excellent. Yes, Sam?
It's kind of why do you need any of this when you shut up Christian?
Okay.
Christian team tells you the goal.
Okay, good. Very good. Well said, Sam. Okay, we're going to come back to this. Yeah, Jordan?
No, just to go like the extra mile.
Okay, see, so maybe that gets more intensive when it comes to the gap. Yeah?
That's a good question.
Yeah, sure.
I feel like this whole time we've been coming out like jealousy and like...
Oh, wait, hang on a second. That's the guy who finished this year. We're getting in a second unit. Okay, very good. Okay, I'm not trying to say jealousy, though.
Not jealousy.
But I think there is an... Ah, exactly what I wanted. Okay, Yoni makes a great point. We'll get back to Yoni's point in a second. Very good, Yoni. Ah, the whole finish of Shir, Yoni there. Way to go. Okay. Tell your parents, Yoni, that you said a good word. In fact, you haven't listened to the Shir. They'll hear it on YU Torah. Okay? All right. Yeah, Ruby? But I have to one.
Then you have to 12 feet.
No. Why?
Oh, it's Shir instead of Rambam today?
Yeah.
I apologize.
Okay. Okay. All right. Where were we? Okay. Let's go to one more juxtaposition. 1 second. And maybe this will lead to Yoni Meir's point. Okay, we talked about a ger being compared to a yatom and amana. Okay, but there is another comparison or another juxtaposition in Vayikra Yotet. What is the pasuk before being nice to the ger in Vayikra Yotet? Mifnei seva takum v'adarta pnei zakein v'yireitim l'kech ani Hashem. Who would be told to be cautious about here, to get up before them and honor them? An elderly person, a seva and a zakein. So now again, just like we asked, what's the relationship between the ger and yatom v'amana? We could ask, what's the relationship between the ger and the seva and zakein? Okay, terrific. So here again, now here we get the Yoni's point, but forget the Yoni's point. Give me one an easy possibility. What might be true about the elderly? They're also vulnerable. Right? Certainly in most societies, the elderly are vulnerable. Right? They can be taken advantage of, unfortunately, and people do try to do that. So they need help. So therefore, go out of your way to honor the elderly. Okay, so that would still be sticking with the vulnerability thing. Okay, however, maybe something else is going on. Okay, so everyone please go to source 8. Okay, this fun is still going to be a little bit like Yoni, but we're about to get in a different direction in a second. Okay, says this, source 9. Says this far, by Dr. Ben Zakein. Now, first of all, there's another ambiguity here. What are the two potential meanings of the word Zakein in Chumash?
Why?
Either means an elder or?
Why?
Why? A sage, right? When we say the Shivim Zakeinim, it's not obvious that they're all, they must have all been like over 80. Maybe the elders in that context means that they're Chachamim. Okay, so we have to clear, who are we honoring here? Are we honoring the elderly or are we honoring the wise? So let's see what he says. The heim tov se haTorah, k'mo shomer v'tinuzal ein zakein al misha kana chachma. So according to Sfarna, clearly, who's the pasuk about? The wise. The achar sheis here al kvod hakdoshim. After it talked about the honor of the holy, his here milavazot et hashfalim. It also warns you about the lowly. So notice what he's still doing. Even though the Sfarna thinks that zakein is a sage, he still thinks that ger is someone in a vulnerable position. Right? It's more like a contrast. It's not a commonality. Take care of the zakein, who's a sage, who has stature in your society, and take care of the ger, who does not have stature. Okay, but we're still in the same theme, that the ger is someone who needs help. Now, I guess you've all figured out by now, obviously there's an alternative. Maybe what's the commonality between a zakein and a ger? They're both people that we admire. Right? We should have admiration for someone who's become a sage. And we should have admiration for someone who's converted to Judaism. Right, so it wouldn't be a love of pity, as Yoni said very well. It might be a love of admiration. Right, maybe that's what the juxtaposition is about to the Zakein. Michael.
What it's suggesting, though, we know from our business parsha, is that in between the pasuk of Zakein and Seva and the Ger pasuk, you have the Aliyah break and one of the little breaks.
Yes, correct. So Michael's right. It is. You could argue that the juxtaposition to Yatom Amunah is stronger because you don't have a break in the middle. And you do have a break there. But I guess from the Mepharshim's perspective, Michael, even when there's a break, you could still ask why it's the next theme. Okay, that's an interesting question. Does that somehow cut down on how seriously we should take the juxtaposition? It is a reasonable question. Okay, very good. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, David?
When we had
it for
Rambam, where
Yeah.
The extensive value of sort of just being friendly to strangers, does that include non-Jews? Like you said,
I don't see why not. I mean, I admit it's explicit in his text. It's not so clear, but
like if a random tourist came to the old city and asked, like, you should go out. Like, and now it's like part of a mitzvah.
Yeah, but again, it's a little bit tricky because when he says Yeshli Lamod Min Mitzvah Zot, I'm not sure he's formally including in the mitzvah. I think he's kind of informally including it as a value. Meaning the mitzvah is concretely for a real convert. But if you really understood the mitzvah and applied the value, you'd apply it to other things also. Put it this way, like, let's say, I'm totally in favor, right? If you see a South Korean convert South Korean tourist looking a little lost, yell mad, you're doing a great thing. It's a wonderful thing to do. Would you say you're formally fulfilling the mitzvah of Avad Ager? I'm pretty skeptical. Okay, but you're still doing a good thing? Okay, we're good? Okay, great. Let us now go to, we're going to start moving now from the pity direction to the admiration direction. Let us go to the Hamek Dabar, source 10, from the Nitziv. Okay, here we go. Ki ger mitem beretz Mitzrayim. You were once converts or strangers in Egypt. Look what he says now. Umikom okom hayatem hayom Rabbi Ya'erech. What's he getting at, guys? You are today Rabbi Ya'erech. Great of value. Kach ha-ger ha-shafel hazeh. Mi yodeya kach koach ha-tzafunbo. Who knows? What powers or abilities are hidden within him. U'betoldotav u'yamim yotzaru. Anybody have any thoughts about those last three words? Okay, I see only Aaron Priven gets what I'm getting at here. Okay. Aaron, we'll give him another 5 seconds. Any thoughts about those last three words? Aaron. Yeah, it's kind of poetic, right? Maybe it's a pasuk. We should check it out. Okay, so it is a pasuk to Hillim Kuflamitet. Okay, but how is it being used here? We told the Amisaro. Told Otav, the descendants of this Ger, these will tell yet what will become of them. So according to Tzivak, it's a very powerful idea. What's the idea? Just because somebody is from humble origins doesn't mean that great things are not going to come. Who knows what's going to come? You can't tell how life's going to play out. Life has all these interesting, dramatic twists. And therefore, you should realize you were once just a slave population in Egypt, and look what you made of yourself. So realize what could become of this ger. But notice, we're kind of shifting a little bit. It's still not the ger per se, but we've shifted from just pity to potential. We're not just pitying the ger, we're seeing the potential of the ger. Yeah, all right.
So this isn't just a potential that's inherent unique to the ger, say, despite the fact that the ger don't...
Correct, correct. Yeah, you're right. We're still not really admiring the ger as a ger. That is correct. Okay, but now we'll get to that theme finally. Go ahead, turn the page, please. Okay. If we go to... Okay. Let's go to... Actually, 14. We'll go to 14 first. Okay? And I think we're going to start to see this theme. We're looking for this admiration theme. Yeah, Michael. Hamikdamar, yeah. No, Gare is a convert. No, let's say, I know, the Gare shows up in Shul. But he doesn't know anything about Torah, and so you're like, oh, what could really come of this guy? Right? He's not a significant player in the learned discourse of Am Yisrael. Okay? Yeah, David? I believe that assumption is false. A convert does not have to know all of Judaism.
Or at least know what he's commanded to do.
Yeah, but think about it. Is it really practical that he has to know every single detail ever?
Isn't the point that we have to make sure that he can't mess up?
Okay, but wouldn't that be within limits? How many from Jews know every detail there is in the halachic system? Okay, just throw it up for 1 second. Let's say, we're testing a ger before his conversion. Or he or she cannot remember, what are the two categories where you're allowed to move a kli shel melach to l'iser? So we say, oh, I'm sorry, that's it, you're not a serious person? So I think you're overstating the case a little bit. Yes, Shirley?
I've heard a thought in the that all gerim were part of the souls at Arsene the Torah. So is there some sort of admiration that this Jewish soul who in his lifetime wasn't placed in the context of being a Jewish person, found their way back, and that should be at least some sort of admiration for us.
Look, if you want to throw them, you could. I don't think you need to throw them for admiration. In some ways, it could be more admirable without that idea. Right? Someone who, without any kind of metaphysical inclination, found their way. Okay? All right, so let's see where we can find the admiration theme. So let us go to the Rambam in source 15. We'll come back to some of the sources we're skipping. Okay, the Rambam has a very interesting formulation about love of the convert. Okay, says the Rambam, when I love the convert, I'm feeling 2 mitzvot. Okay, really, as Shirley said before. What's the first mitzvah I'm fulfilling? And I'm also filling another mitzvah called V'hafta metager. V'atorah amra V'hafta metager. But now the Rambam has an extra line that wasn't really necessary. Tziva al avad hager. God commands you to love the convert. Just like he commanded you to love himself. Now that's a funny line. Right? It's true that there are 3 mitzvot of Ava in the Torah. Love Re'ehu, love Ger, and love Hashem. But what is the Rambam, what does that add to the conversation? Oh, love the ger, just like God commanded you to love himself. Is it more like that than loving Re'eu? Does that, what exactly does that little line throw in there? Okay, so we're going to see two approaches, and one's going to really advance our conversation. Okay, let's go to the B'nai Binyamin. I have to admit, I forgot who this is. Okay, but obviously someone whose father was named Binyamin. Okay, so the B'nai Binyamin says, what's the comparison to Avat Hashem? Shelo katav kan v'hafta liger, k'mo shekatu v'hafta l'reyacha, v'katav etager. Okay, so according to B'nai Binyamin, what's the Rambam pointing out here, guys? It's all very good. It's all a language point. And it is an interesting language point. The three loves of Tanakh are not the same. It's v'hafta l'reyacha k'mocha, it's v'hafta etager, and it's v'hafta et Hashem Elokecha. Now, I admit, I'm not sure linguistically how to define the difference between Ava Lo and Ava Et, but what remains true? That the same formulation is used for the Ger and for Hashem, which is not the formulation used for Re'eu. So maybe the Rambam just make a language point. There's the language of Chumash is indicating some kind of parallel between Avat Hashem and Avat Ager. Ah, see, we mentioned language, and Michael got excited. That's Michael, what do you got? In the Hebraic corner in the back.
I mean, I get the difference would be that Abba Et would be more intrinsic, or an Abba Lid more like action. Because Abba Et is like, you have an intrinsic love of God, mm-hmm. a lot of like action matters your emotions, whereas Abba Lid is not an actual Abba.
Okay, good. Great. Okay, so Michael's suggesting, you might be right linguistically, that if we're discussing is this an emotion or is it behavioral, maybe Abba Lid is more behavioral. And Ava Et is more emotional. Okay, Michael?
The actual, like, technical thing is Et is a direct object and when it is an indirect object. Is it different than, like, how much, to what degree is, like, the recipient of the action?
Wait, are you changing gears now?
What?
Is this your second shot, or?
No, I'm saying that that's, like, a technical reason.
Oh, you think, if I wanted to put your point in technical terms. Yeah, I liked it enough when it wasn't in technical terms. You know, I don't know if you need that. Yeah?
Just think to the Kabbalistic place. Can you say that? The first time I read it, Al Havat Atzmo, I read it like loving yourself.
Okay.
And that's Hashem Elokecha, because it says that Hashem Elokecha. So maybe loving yourself is part of loving Hashem.
All right, here we go. You got, all right, you just can't, no matter what you give him sharing, someone speaks panentheism in there anyway. It's amazing. Just amazing. Okay. Okay. Joseph Kahn, I'm going to assert that it's not the simplest reading of the Rambam. How's that? Okay. Okay. Without even knowing it.
You
use a canvas without knowing it. Okay, so that is. I should have known that was going to happen. Okay. It's funny, you know what's funny, Joseph? I was thinking, some people can read Avat Atzmo as love of yourself, but then when they read the Pasuk, that's going to make them realize it's not true. But from your panatheist perspective, even the Pasuk doesn't prove it. Right? Because loving yourself is loving God. Okay. Okay, very clever there, Joseph. Okay, so that is. The B'nai Binyamin. It's about language. What if it's not about language? Maybe it's about substance. So let's go to the source 17. Okay, the Pach Yitzchak is Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, very, very deep thinker, who was the Rishiv of Chaim Berlin for many years. He died, I think, in 1980, if I recall correctly. Okay, let us see what he has over here. Here's a beautiful pshat. Shem Avat Hager Ba Mitzachu Adam Galmud B'Ne'ezav. What's to be Galmud? Very good. If you think he's lonely, as Yoni phrased it, it's a love of pity. Ain mitzvah avad again mitkayemet al yedei avazu. So Rav Hunter is actually pretty radical. What does he claim? If you love him out of pity, you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. That's not so. Not only does he think that there's a rationale here, he thinks it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. You have to love him for the right reason. Okay, shayne barel el shatam am nichlus chal mitzvah avad v'tam eshlav adgeru mitzad malato. There it is. Why do you love him? His exaltedness. It's meant to be a love of admiration, not a love of pity. Shenichlas tachat kanfei shechina. V'lo... Excuse me. V'lo mitzad yoto adam shein lo golem. And not because he's a person without connections. Now, what's his proof? So he goes on to say, that's what the Rambam meant. Because what was the Rambam's comparison? Love the ger, like love Hashem. What's he asserting? Love of God is probably more about love of admiration and not... love of pity. It's not, oh, Nebuch, Hashem struggles in life. No, it's a love of admiration. Right, so once that's true, says the comparison is not a language point, the comparison is a point of substance. Right? Rambam is telling you what kind of love you should have for the convert. Do not have a love of pity. That's the wrong, I mean, not that that's a bad idea, but that's not what it's essentially about. It is essentially about a love of admiration. So you know exactly your point. Rahuna would like to read that in the Rambam. Andrew.
Let me say, like Shabbat Shema, like, you might feel bad for the person, like, take him in, but, like, end up, like, developing, like, a real, like, relationship.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Look, the truth is, as I said, I like Rahuna's idea a lot. It seems pretty strong to say that you're actually not Yotze if you do the other thing. Okay, one could say that, realize there's two themes to this mitzvah. There's, you can have a love of pity and a love of admiration together, right? It's hard to be a ger, and you admire what the ger has done, right? They're not in any way in contradiction to two themes. Yeah, Michael.
According to, like, the opinion that you're supposed to love the ger out of pity, would they say, like, as they were more entrenched in the community, like, the problem of not having connections or not knowing ways of the land would sort of fall away?
You mean a few generations later or during the first person's life? I'm not sure that's true. You convert to Judaism when you're 40. Do you ever feel like an insider? I think maybe you feel like an outsider forever. Okay. But I still think you could say, since we know it's not so easy, so there's an ongoing mitzvah of Abba Ager. Right? I think that could be a long-term thing. Okay, now Rav Hunter does something extremely clever. Okay, we said before that the comparison to Zakein might work out from the admiration theme, and the comparison to Yotam Balmana seems more like the pity theme. Okay, what about the following pasuk? There's a pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Yud, which is talking about God, and it says, what does God do? It says he is Oseh Mishpat Yotam Balmana. If you want to see this, it's Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Chet. Oseh Mishpat Yotam Balmana. He does justice for the widowed orphan. The Oed Ger. And he loves the convert. Now, in theory, that could be an argument against Rav Hunter. Because what do you have once again? The ger's partners, as it were, are the Yatom and the Almanah. So it sounds like the ger, again, is someone who struggles. Okay, did anyone get to this piece? How does Rav Hunter get out of it? Yeah, David. Yeah, very good. The pasuk does not say about all three of them, Oseh Mishpat, Ger, Yatom, Almanah. Not at all. There's a difference in phraseology. What does God do for the Yatom Almana? He is Oseh Mishpat. What does he do for the Ger? Abba? So David's absolutely right. You could say that's exactly the distinction. The Yatom Almana, the widow and orphan, what do they need? They need justice. They're being taken advantage of. So therefore Oseh Mishpat Yatom Almana. But the Ger is someone who did something really admirable. So there it's not just Oseh Mishpat, it's Oed Ger. So you could argue there the juxtaposition is actually a contrast. And that would again further Rav Hunter's argument. Yeah.
We all had to this in Pizza. We thought that the contrast between the two wasn't out of a difference between pity versus admiration, but that inherently you would assume to give love to the downtrodden. I guess that it's sort of the same thing, but you wouldn't necessarily assume to, like, give love to the outsider. So that's why it says specifically Ava.
Ah, I mean, you would claim you know to love the Yotam and Amana, and you need to be told to love the Ger.
Right.
Okay, but just for Fender's purposes, that wouldn't help him, right?
Right.
Right. I think he would have to go a step further.
Yeah.
That Oed Ger is out of admiration. Okay, we're good so far? Okay, great. Okay, let us add one more point to back this up, and then we'll get to Shirley's question from before. Okay, I would say even our tefillah backs this up. Okay, because where we discuss Ger and Davening? In Shmoneh Esrei, guys. Oh, that's a good trivia question. Guys, get this down, guys. It's going to be on the final. Where did Ger come up in Shmoneh Esrei? Right, Al Tzedkim Al Chasidim. Who do we mention at some point? Ger at Tzedek. What are they doing in that bracha? Well, look who they're juxtaposed with. Tzedkim. It doesn't sound like we're, let's list all the people who need help. Less than all the people who are not treated well in society, who feel they have no stature. We are clearly listing people that we think are noble, that we have admiration for. So that would also fit for supporting Rav Hunter's idea that it's about admiration, not just about pity. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you about a great sefer that most people are not aware of, but it's a really wonderful sefer. Like, one of my many weird goals in life is to read every word of the sefer, but it's never going to happen. Okay, I shouldn't say that, actually. It'll be unlikely. Okay? Rav Sadia, we have talked about that one genre of rabbinic literature is Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam is perhaps the most famous one. Right, let's try the list. The 683 mitzvot in the Torah. Here's the list. Okay, so before Rambam, Rav Sadia Gaon did it, but Rav Sadia Gaon did it as a pope. He wrote a poetic version. Oh, see, this guy got excited there, huh? A literature guy. Okay, see, people in literature before Orson Scott Card, very exciting, Joseph. Okay, so he wrote it as a poem. And it kind of wasn't really studied that much for most of Jewish history. So Avigdor Talmud Chacham in the early part of the 20th century, now Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, wrote a tremendously intensive commentary on this poem. It's three huge, chubby volumes. It's kind of funny, because when you're looking for it, like, you can't even find the poem, because the Perlau's commentary just goes on forever. Like, you're desperately turning, where's that poem? Okay, because he'll take, like, one line of poem and comment on it for 25 pages. Okay, so it's a great sefer by Rav Perlau. So Rav Perlau's trying to comment on how Rav Sadigo relates to the mitzvah of Avad Hager. And he claims that Rav Sadigon does not count it as a mitzvah, where the Rambam does. So Rav Perlau is trying to figure out what's going on. How come the Rambam counts it as a mitzvah and Rav Sadigon does not? Which very much touches on Srili's question, right? What does this mitzvah add if you already have the Hatorei HaKamah? So let's just go to source 18. We'll see what we got here. So now one thing that Rav Perlau does is he'll contrast Rav Sadigon with other people who wrote books of mitzvah. That's one of the reasons why it takes a look. He's going through like, the whole literature of Sifrei HaMitzvot. V'nei ha'bal halachot gdolot v'Rambam v'nimshachim achrihem milvar ma shemanu. What to be moneh something, guys? To count. Very good. I say v'ha'p'r'echa k'mocha sheshav v'bakol. They count. Obviously, one of the 650 mitzvot is v'ha'p'r'echa k'mocha. Manu gamkein I say v'ha'p'r'metager. They also count. Yeah, so what did Rambam do? There's two seven mitzvot in our tradition. There's loving everybody, Re'enu, and there's loving the Ger. Okay, next. Avu Rabbeinu Agon. Now again, anytime you're a commentary, so who's Rabbeinu? The person that you're commenting on. So what did Rav Sadigon say? Lo mana seize. If you read the poem carefully, apparently according to Rav Sadigon, there's no mitzvah called loving the commentary. He doesn't deny the pasuk exists. It says v'ahavtem et ha'ger. So let's turn over to the third page. This is his consistent methodology. Dahara, here's the key line, guys. Leka nafkuta basezu. What's leka nafkuta? It's no nafkamina. It doesn't add anything. I mean, all the love you had before, you still have. Ela kade lava lager b'shte asein. What does the second thing do? It is all quantitative. Someone who's mean to a ger, how many things are they violating? Two. And I'm just mean to my neighbor, I'm violating one. So what does he want to claim? It's quite interesting, actually. If it's just about quantity, it's about intensifying, apparently, what's the Rambam Rav Sadigon split? Rambam says, I still count it. That's also a mitzvah, even if it's just intensifying, even if it doesn't add any practical outgrowth. Where Rav Sadigon would say, well, if it's not really adding anything, I don't think it should be counted as a mitzvah. Every mitzvah has to add something. Okay, we got that? So a Perlau would like to argue whether or not Avad Hager is counted as a mitzvah, depends upon this question. If it's all quantitative, if it's all intensity, Rambam thinks you should count it, and Rav Sadigon thinks you should not. Again, I think some are going to realize there may be an alternative here. Okay, all right.
I was going to suggest an alternative. Why we assume there's an obviously be like a positive
result. Okay, excellent. So Arpato is absolutely right. What is an alternative explanation for the Rambam? The Rambam didn't count it because it doesn't add anything, but you count things which don't add anything. Maybe the Rambam counted it because he thought it had something. Maybe there is a new element to Avad Hager that does not exist with Avad Hager Kamoka. And I think that would work particularly well, maybe not only actually, but I think it works nice with Rav Hunter. What might Rav Hunter say? What are you supposed to be thinking when you love the convert? I really admire what this fellow did. It's not so easy to change religions in midlife and pursue what you think is the good in life. I admire that. That feeling is a new feeling. Right, that's a new expression. That's not just there in V'ha'p'r'echa k'mocha. So I agree very much, Ari. Okay, then we have two pshatim in Rambam. Maybe it really doesn't add anything. It's just intensity. It's just quantity. But still, Rambam counts it. Maybe Rambam was convinced it had something. Okay, yeah, sorry.
I have two questions. One, why are we so hesitant to add just like a more powerful idea when we're not with like the other widow and our child who may qualify for the children? Like, they were okay with saying, like,
okay, so I think the difference is, this is a very good question, really. I think the difference is as follows. There's no mitzvah in the Torah called V'yahavta liyotom v'almana. There are mitzvah about not oppressing them. So I think we all agree, not oppressing is something separate from Ava. But I think the problem here is, it seems like the same verb, the same command form. V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, v'yahavta metager. That's why in a ger context, it's a bigger question, what's added? I think you're right. You, in theory, you could kind of subsume everything in the Bahatu Recha Kamocha. But if you say something like Lo Tanun, Lo Tanun could be going in a different direction. Okay? David, you good? Everyone okay with that? Okay, now for the last source of the day, and then we'll wrap the whole thing up. But I also have to apologize. I actually have to run out immediately at one. So anyone has like some interesting, the best part of here is the post-year chit-chat. So we'll have to do that tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, you want to do the end? Okay, Aaron Priven, amazing. He and I are telling how to get away with anything. Okay, so if you read Tilla Perlau to the end, I'm not going to do it inside right now. Okay, so he has this interesting idea that what else be included in Avad Hager? Actually, let's read it inside. It's kind of fascinating. Even though it was on my source sheet, I wasn't aware of this. Okay, so he says, four lines from the end, to b'chal ha-seitlat and again, y'chal ganka mitzvah, l'kabel gerim. That is quite a fascinating idea. I would have said, what's the mitzvah of loving the convert? One, somebody's converted to Judaism, now there's a mitzvah to love that person. Okay, what does he claim here? Part of the mitzvah is actually the very acceptance. Right before the person is yet a ger, there's a mitzvah to accept him, right? The person's sincerely committed to being a member of Am Yisrael, so accept him. So Aaron's totally right. Obviously, if I accept that idea, what happens to the question on the Rambam? It totally falls away. Right, obviously there's a new element here that is not subsumed under the Avraham Hakadosh. Before I take comments, guys, we now have a nice thing. We now have three approaches to Rambam. Right, Rav Saigon says, don't count it as a separate mitzvah, it doesn't add anything. Rambam can either say, intensity is a good enough reason. Right, just quantity is a reason to add, to call it a mitzvah. Or it adds maybe one of these Rav Hunter elements of admiration for the ger. Or as Aaron says, maybe it adds a totally separate idea of Kabbalah ger. Maybe that's the new mitzvah. Jordan. Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask that question. You know, Jordan, now that I'm getting older, I'm not as so reticent anymore. Yes. Okay. Sorry. Okay.
I agree with
you. Okay, David.
I think we also see this play.
It's funny, because like 15 years ago, I probably would have danced around the question, but that's good to get older in life. Yeah.
I think we also see this in Torah when Yitro comes back to the community and you see that Moshe, like, and they still have like a feast with him, and like this whole like exalted thing, and then like you see, because like, and then assuming the proportion that he actually converts, that they like treat him with like this great admiration, and then you might think, oh, like, well, Moses only doing this because he's his, like his father-in-law, but you see other cases in the Torah where like with Yaakov and Lava that you don't necessarily have to treat your father with like such a great amount of respect. So you can say that, like, this is another example.
Okay, not bad. Okay, that could be your new, your safer. Son-in-law, father-in-law relationships in Chumash. Not bad. Okay, one more comment, we'll go to the last point, yeah.
I have a weird question, I don't know exactly how to phrase, but if you say that we have the offer of milk and then the offer that like, it has, like, added on, you can also take the flip side and say that, like, if someone converts added Judaism, it should be, like, a little lower level than the offer.
Okay, it's a pretty interesting question. You assume there is such a thing as converting added Judaism. Okay? I mean, you could do it. Technically, the question is, can you do it in any essential way? Right? Okay? Okay. I'm sorry? Yeah. Michael?
At the whole point, if our relationship with Gerem is supposed to be born out of, like, love and then how do you explain the whole Gerem, how you can marry
the that's a great question. Okay, I'm not going to get to it right now, but Michael's right. One might argue that the Kigirmi to marry to Mitzrayim works better from the pity perspective than from the admiration perspective. If you're Christopher Hunter, ask that question on himself. Okay, this one, the one I quoted is Pesach Chet. If you look at Pesach, I think it's Chavtet. Look at Chavtet where he tries to address that question. Very good, Michael. Okay, let me just sneak in one last source here. Okay, so this is a really interesting source. Rambam got a letter from a man named Ovadia, who was a convert. And Ovadia had three questions. And some of you know this in my Morning Ruchum share. I always say that the Rambam seems like this cold intellectual. The only time you get the Rambam in his warm and fuzzy moments is in letters. Because then the Rambam is trying to console people who are struggling, and he was sympathetic to their difficulties. Okay, what?
Yemenite.
Very good. So as Donnie says, that's why the Yemenites love the Rambam so much. Because they were really struggling, and he wrote a letter to console them, called the Geret Teman. And that, from that moment on, Rambam became like the Yemenite hero. Right, since he wrote that letter from the Geret Teman. So this fellow Ovadia had three questions for Rambam. In the interest of time, I'm not going to do all three. But one of the questions is, is Islam Avodah Zarah or not? But here's the background, though, guys.
Ovadia had an argument with his Rebbe. He argued that Islam is not a Bodhisattva. It's classic monotheism. And his Rebbe said it is a Bodhisattva. And then his Rebbe got a little heated and called him some names. Okay? That's what happened. Okay? That's the background. So let's see. Now with that background, let's now see the last source. Asher Hishivcha Rabcha Shalom Kahogan. Your Rebbe wasn't appropriate. The Hetzivcha made you sad. Hechischa made you angry. The Kalachak Seal. What did he call you? A fool. Aveira Gdola Biado. This is a great sin. How could it be that he called you a fool? Okay, skip to the end of the third line. The Chishikaya, was he drunk? Veloya Dasha Bishloshim Bishisha Mekamod, is he a Torah Lager? Right, famous Chazal that 36 places in Chumash you're told to be nice to the Ger. By the way, it's debatable whether it's really 36, but the point is clear. So how could he do that? Aye Dabar Veger Lotan Evelot Hionadvarim. Now, this isn't really great. Ilu Amar Hua Met. Let's say he'd been right. How should he speak to you? Rach. In a soft, gentle fashion. Kosh gain shema temet. All the more so because in this particular case. Yeah, you were right. He was wrong. So even when you're right, you have to be nice to the person. All the more so when you're wrong. Islam's not a Bodhisattva. It is a monotheistic faith. Okay. Then he says, okay, skip down to the line is L'chak Seal. Wait, don't forget this is the Rambam talking. So this will fit nicely to Rav Huttner's reading of Rambam. Okay, you see the line is L'chak Seal, Tem Gdoli? How can he call you a fool? Adam Sheniach Avivimo Makomer Aratel Machur Amo. What did this fellow do, you Ovadia? You left the whole world you knew. The Abdamina Tuya. The Avin Be'emibo Ubav Nidbak Umazu. Who did you attach yourself to? What's he getting at, guys? Why is it particularly impressive in the 1100s to convert to Judaism? Yeah, I would say you're converting to the losing team. It's like asking for a trade from, I don't know, from the Warriors to the Suns. Right, that's what's happening here. Right, like, you know, you're going from the people who have power and have, right, all the authority, and now you're going to be in, like, people get persecuted. Right, that's a pretty impressive thing to do that. Out of idealism, what an amazing thing to do, right? So again, this it fits the Rambam. The Rambam apparently is a big believer in admiration for the Ger, right? That's the theme over here. And then he has a tremendous play on words. He says, "Okay, mi shezuma lato, ksil yikra." Would you call someone a fool for doing this? Chalilcha lo ksil kashem shikra ella maskil. Okay, you're not a ksil, you're a maskil. Who's a maskil? An intelligent fellow. Right, so what is he saying? This is something amazing. Someone who out of idealism will take on hardship and difficulty is just someone we should have admiration for. Let me just sum up the whole shiur briefly, and we'll bring it to a close. So we saw that there's two possible themes here. You could have a theme of the vulnerability of the ger, which will work out very well, as Michael says, with the positive kikirim hitem beretz mitzrayim. We discussed various components of vulnerability, right? Not knowing the mores, not having connections, feeling estranged, etc. That's one theme. Maybe that works with the juxtaposition with Yatom Valmana. Maybe it even works with the juxtaposition with Zakain, if Zakain is an elderly person who also is vulnerable. But as the other man pointed out, maybe there's a totally different theme here. A ger is not just someone we pity, a ger is someone we admire for his her idealism. Where do we have that? So the Rambam spoke about the comparison between Avat Hashem and Avat Ager, which admittedly the Beit Binyamin made a language point, but Rav Huttner wanted to read it as a content point. The love of, it's like love of God. You admire who God is, the exaltedness, and that's how you love the convert. Okay, if you think it's a bit of a stretch in Rambam, A, I point out it works with the Amidah, the Gerit Tzedek belong together with Tzadikim, and it fits nicely with that letter we saw at the end, where the Rambam is saying, Kanei Tovadia, that he really admires the Ger. Okay, I will just point out, the Rav Huttner takes it in a particularly radical way, which I don't know what you have to say. Rav Huttner says, if you don't love the convert for the right reason, you haven't fulfilled it. That is a strong thought. Simple to say that that's the real idea of the mitzvah, but you'd be filled the mitzvah either way, with the pity or the admiration. Finally, we tried to figure out why Rambam would count it as two separate mitzvot. So you could say intensity is good enough reason. That's the way Rav Perlin wanted to go with it. You could say what Aaron Perlin pointed out. Maybe it's a new mitzvah called Kabbalah Hager, which would certainly be a new element. But I think even Kotzav Hunter, you could say, no, when you love everybody, okay, you love everybody. But we love the Ger, there's a special level of admiration for what the Ger has done. Yeah, all right.
I think to answer the question before...
Michael's question.
How did admiration work with Ger? I actually I think it works in two directions. That A, that we think about our progress from being slaves to being Jews. We pride ourselves on the fact that we accepted the Torah, and that because we admire that in ourselves, we admire it in the air. That's the reason for the.
Okay, you're fair.
Also, the result of it is that if you see, like Rambam said, you see how special it is to come to realize and have that clarity and to come to Judaism in that sense, that it reaffirms what we did, reminds us that we're in the same position. So we are already in it, why would we not?
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, my last closing point, guys. So I would say maybe this is a model for like a blurred theme in life. Like all of us have limited time and energy and resources. We can't love everybody all the time, even if we'd like to. So maybe we're looking for criteria, like how to dispense our loving energies. So it seems we have two good criteria here. How might we dispense our loving energies? Well, there are those who are the most needy in our society, right? That's the love of pity. And there are those who are the most deserving in our society. That's the love of admiration. So I'm not saying those are the only criteria, but this might be a good duality to start thinking about how to dispense our love. All right, we're going to start Mincha now. Everybody have